Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello to another fabulous episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I am so excited today. You are all in for such a treat. I am introducing to you Robin Brock. She is well known for a lot of things, not the least being crowned Miss Kansas International in 2021. And if you could see this glamorous, beautiful lady, I mean, you'd be blown away. She's not only married, but she has two children. She does modeling, but she has a mission to serve and share her gift and ignite hope into others. And what a beautiful time right now to have other people just lift each other up and put hope and goodness out into this universe. She does that. But let's face it. I mean, we've all gone through, you know, trials and tribulations. And 6 years ago, she had to come to a really hard decision. She had to face the truth that she had an addiction. But through her story and development, she was given the gift of recovery. She believes that everyone is recovering from something. I truly believe that, Robin. And that her initiative called Rooted in Hope, and that's how her initiative for Rooted in Hope began. Robin encourages women to speak out about their stories and make sure that they are seen, they are heard, and they are valued. And that's exactly what I love doing on this podcast. I love bringing people, Robin, that just have this inner passion and just their stories deserve to be shared. She also works with the public school systems to help reduce the number of drug addicted youth. Robin said she is honored to spend the rest of her days mentoring and standing shoulder to shoulder with women who are searching for happy, joyous, and free lives. I mean, that is profound. Robin, I am so, so excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Erica, for having me on your awesome podcast. I'm just honored to be here.
We are so honored to absolutely have you. I mean, and I will tell you that women like yourself, I just want to thank you. I want to, any woman that's listening right now that has either been on the podcast or puts themselves out there in maybe social media or in the public eye and shares that vulnerable, you know, hard past that have made them who they are today. I just want to thank you because you're absolutely right. We've all gone through things and that truly is what brings us to that next level. I'm a firm, firm believer. So my first question to you is, you know, looking back to where you were 6 years ago and where you are now, if you were to turn back time and give you someone advice 6 years ago or someone that's going through maybe some hardships in their life, what would you say to them? Maybe talk a little bit about what that period felt like to you. And again, not to start it dark, but I think it's so important to realize your past because you have grown so much as a person and you are such in the public eye, just such a superstar to so many women now.
Well, thank you for that. I don't know if I deserve all that. So I'll shed some light on why I don't feel like I deserve that. I'm just a regular human being. 6 years ago, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was out of the workforce for 10 years. I was homeschooling my kids. Oldest son had a sensory processing disorder. So he had a lot of extra needs and requirements. It basically looked like autism, but he wasn't on the spectrum because he was so verbal. So he had all the tics and setbacks that a child with autism would have, except for he was extremely verbal. I also had a toddler. And so life was really chaotic. I was in a bad marriage. I don't want to dishonor that too much because I still have a lot of respect for him. He is the father of my two children and he's done some great things, but it wasn't a healthy marriage for either one of us. And I was prescribed pain medication and it came from a doctor. And so it didn't feel like drug use. And what happened was I needed more and more and more. And they were happily giving me whatever I wanted. So I was prescribed two painkillers at a time. And I can tell you the first time I took two at a time, my life was altered. I was all the warm fuzzies. It was like a comfort blanket. All of that inadequacy that I felt about not being enough, not measuring up, hours on Facebook comparing my life to other women and how I didn't have enough of X, Y, and Z, right? Why I wasn't good enough. And feeling sorry for myself. All of that just disappeared. The unhealthy behavior patterns in my marriage didn't matter anymore. I was so euphoric and I had so much energy. It didn't do to me what it did, what it does to normal people that would take it and get tired. It caused me to like stay up all night and clean my house with a toothbrush and do all the things and check all the boxes. It was like a cape until it wasn't. And then all of a sudden we hit this point where it just wasn't enough. And there was never enough. And I needed more and more and more. So fast forward 6 months, I'm taking 30 painkillers a day. That's mixed with benzos. So Valium or, oh gosh, what's the other one? What's the big one? Why can't I think of it? Xanax.
Okay. Okay.
Bring down. Right. So it's like this constant battle of like up too high, down too low. Where do I find the right mix? And
you were self-prescribing yourself at that point. Like you
basically, yeah. I mean, I was still getting them from all the doctors at this point. And my eyes were yellow. I was swollen. I mean, just puffy. I was so heavy. I was dying. I mean, my kidneys couldn't keep up. And the doctors were starting to catch on and they were like, this might be a problem. And so I started writing my own prescriptions. And that worked for a while until it didn't. And pretty soon I was in a world of trouble that I never imagined. I like to think it would have stopped me, but it didn't. I was facing 12 years in federal prison. The only thing worse in my state was murder. And the state was looking to make an example of me. It was crazy. So I entered a treatment center and I spent 34 days there and I did every step down level of care. I did the outpatient. I got into a 12-step program. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I did every single thing they told me to do because I knew I was about to die. And I just did everything that was asked of me. That's it. I mean, I didn't figure it out. I tried. I tried so many times to cut back, wean, switch to alcohol, switch to wine, switch to something acceptable, taper down. And every single time I just consumed everything that was in front of me. I could not regulate it. So I had to enter that program of recovery. And for me, I went in willing to do whatever it was that they said, because I knew that I was looking at death. So I did that and I worked my way through. I completely surrendered. And I just was willing to let all of my secrets out. I was tired of carrying them around. I was tired of being a fraud. I was tired of being a facade and a shell of a woman. I was ready to just figure out who I was because I didn't know. And I was 34 years old at the time. So, or 32. Anyway, it was right around there. So I got into recovery. I worked the steps. I continue to work the 12th step to this day. I sponsor other women that are coming in. By the grace of God, at my court hearing, the judge, I still have the paper, crossed through my suggested sentence of 12 years in federal prison and wrote in 1 year probation.
Wow.
Six months in, they let me loose. And a series of events happened that moved me to Kansas from Arizona. And I moved to Kansas in my old vehicle with 300,000 miles, a suitcase, two dogs, two kids, no home, no income, hadn't worked in 10 years. And just left on a wing and a prayer, just knowing, just trusting God's plan for my life. And fast forward 6 years from now, life is so much better than I could have ever imagined.
Wow. I mean, I'm literally speechless. And I say that because look at what has happened over the last 6 years. I mean, how far you've come. I mean, to become a model and a mom who just your kids idol and look up to, and you're this strength for them and for other women, what you represent. And I know there's someone listening right now that needs to hear this story. And I thank you so much for digging deep and sharing it and being so vulnerable, because it's so important that other people know that you, someone like you, who, I mean, you look at your highlights, you look at your reels, like just this beautiful, glamorous, like stunning woman, never in a gazillion years would you think, right? It could never happen to me. Let me ask you that question. I mean, did you ever think this could happen to you? Did you have anyone during that time that realized what was going on, or were you able to hide it, or just?
Great question. So I knew that I was a prime suspect. So addiction is in my family, in the form of alcoholism. So I was extra careful my whole life, and I was never addicted to anything my whole life. I was so responsible with everything and so acutely aware that addiction ran in my family, and I had to be really careful. So I respected substances. I never really messed with anything in high school or college. I drank in a really light way, socially, and was very respectful of substance abuse. And it really took me by surprise when I was prescribed pain medication, and how quickly that enveloped my whole life and just rerouted my brain, and how quickly I became an addict. I just, I don't know if my guard was down or if I was looking for an escape subconsciously, but it got me with. Maybe my guard was down, but it took me quick. And I didn't go into it looking to become an addict. And what I find is that most people don't. Most people that are addicted didn't set out to become addicts.
And, you know, I think that's so true. I think so many people, it starts out innocently. And I will, you know, kind of be vulnerable here. I had a serious eating disorder for years. And it started out really innocent, right? I wanted to lose a couple sticky pounds. And I wasn't doing it to set out to be like, oh, I can't wait till this becomes, hurts my family and hurts my friends and puts me in a bad place and makes my hair thin. And like, you know, I was so obsessed with that. And, you know, I look at that as the same sort of type of addiction, right? It's different and it's not as, you know, edgy or, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's, but at the same time, it's still, you know, we're by as people and humans, we do become addicted to things, right? And I was addicted with keeping that image. I was addicted with control. And in my life, there was a lot of things that were falling out of control during that time. And I realized that was the one thing that I could control. And I hurt a lot of people through that passage, right? But I truly believe that I came out stronger because of it. I don't wish it upon anyone. I know you don't wish it upon anyone, but it's serious, right? It's part of, you know, a lot of us, and I know you're programmed this way, Robin, like just naturally being an overachiever, naturally, you know, being, I'm a firstborn, I'm an Aries, like, and I just have always had this drive and this fire behind me. And I truly believe that at that point, that was something in my life that I could, you know, take control out of. But at the same point, like you said, coming out of the other end of it. And now I have this love and passion for wellness to say, hey, listen, there's such other ways we can go about this, right? Like it's, you know, and fueling our bodies with the right things, because realizing that I wasn't helping anyone when I was in that state, mentally, emotionally, like I just wasn't 100% there. And, you know, but it's so important that people hear those stories.
You touched on so many gold nuggets there. And thank you for stepping out and being vulnerable yourself. I mean, this is what it takes. We all have a story, and it goes back to what I said. Everyone's recovering from something. We're all recovering from something, and we're all addicted to something. Listen, it's just our culture. So we're addicted to Amazon or social media or TV or whatever it is. We all have addictions that help us cope. We all have unhealthy coping mechanisms. And so we have to identify those and move out of them. And when we tell our truth to other women, that empowers them to say, oh my gosh, because when we're in it, and correct me if I'm wrong in your case, it's isolating. We truly believe we are the only person that knows this secret, this pain, and we have to maintain all the lies and the whole web of deception to keep up this facade of, oh, I'm thin and fit and happy. And for me, you know, I'm a homeschooling mom of a special needs child, you know, pin the medal on my chest, pat me on the head. I lived for that. I needed that approval. I needed all of that attention. And that's what fueled me. And it was never enough at the same time. No matter how much I got, it was never enough. And it made me feel like crap because I knew that I was a fraud.
Right. And you knew, like, inside your heart that you weren't serving anyone, and especially you. And now your philosophy is like, listen, I need to give myself, you know, that fuel first before I can give it to anyone else. I need to give myself that energy first. And I always felt that was selfish when they're like, well, you put the, you know, the mask on the airplane before you put it on your children. I'm like, why would they ever say that? And then, you know, you actually think about the philosophy, like, how are you good to anyone else? Unless you're fueling yourself the right way. And I'm regardless. And I don't even mean that like being food as fuel. I mean that the energy or the self-care or the exercise or whatever that is that you do. And speaking of that, what do you do now? Because I truly believe that, you know, once you've had an addiction, let's face it, like, it's easy to slip back. It's easy to get in a vulnerable place in life. It's easy to, even though you know you never want to go back to that place, are there ever triggers, anything that you do now that really helps you stay positive and make sure that that doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that question. Best question I've ever been asked. So the very first mechanism, coping mechanism that comes to mind is probably the most important. And it can sound profound, but it's not. I relinquish control every single day of my life. So I wake up every morning and I understand that I have no control over drugs or alcohol, but also no control over people, places, or things. Now that's terrifying the first time we hear that. It's like, oh, but what about my kids? And what if they go to a different college and it's out of state? And what if they marry the wrong girl and all these things, right? The hamster wheel just starts going. But I don't have control over those things. And so someone told me early on in recovery, control is at best an illusion. And when I think I have some, I'm even more miserable because once I have it, I'm trying to maintain it. So anytime I find myself trying to control something, I always reduce it down. So I'm in food. Food is my whole life, basically. And so I put it in the terms of a reduction. So if we reduce that down, what is that fear? What am I afraid of? Why am I trying to control? If I'm trying to control, I am afraid. And it always comes down to one of two things. I'm either afraid of losing something I already have or not getting something I want. And so for me, it's a process of looking that monster in the face, in the closet, opening that door and saying, hey, I see you there, but you're not going to kill me today. And then I close the door. And so it's like, okay, my kids might marry bad people that don't get along with us. You know, they might choose a career path that I don't understand. My accounts and my financial security, they could leave me. You know, I could lose my job. I could die in a car accident. My husband could die. All these things could happen. But if I'm worried about all of these things today that probably will never happen, how am I being useful today in this moment?
Oh, I love it. Drop the mic. I mean, you could probably just stop right there. Bam. I mean, it's so true. And it slips off your tongue so beautifully and so eloquently, but it's easier said than done. And I'm sure that's taken a lot of time and a lot of conscious efforts. And I'm sure some days that's easier to slip off and not let that person offend you that is irate at you for, you know, stopping at a red light, or the person that isn't so nice to you at the grocery store, or, you know, that mom that doesn't say hi to you at pickup. And yet at the same time, you're like, I can't control those people. And that's,
right.
That's not easy. And I find myself too, like when I start to like go below the belt is what I'll say, like, whether it's maybe with my, in my marriage or whether it's to my sister or it's to a friend. And I'm like, okay, what's going on with me? There's something going on with me making me act that way. Sometimes I can't think of what it is at that moment. I'm like, why am I treating this person like this?
Mm-hmm.
But normally it's something like I feel something else that's spiraling out of control or doesn't feel so right in my life. And then it comes out in kind of a weird behavior. And if it's human, right? Like no one is going through life in this perfect, you know, composed attitude all of the time. I don't believe it happens. I believe we all have certain cruts in our lives and our days and our hours, right?
Oh, yeah.
As a mom, like I experience that a lot, you know, one minute I'm like, let's get in the car. And the next minute I'm like, you're so cute. Let's take it. Like another minute, let's go the long way to school. And, you know, and I think in today's world, especially, there's so much coming into our lives that right. It's hard to stop that at times.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, again, more gold mines. Wow. So when I'm disturbed by somebody else, I was taught. So you're right. It doesn't come naturally. I wasn't born this way. Oh my gosh, not even close. I mean, just about everything I learned was unhealthy, you know, growing up, all the codependencies, all the people pleasing, all the approval seeking, all of those things are things I had to work through. But I was taught another little nugget, and it says, anytime I'm disturbed by anyone, anywhere, it's time for me to look inside and see what it is in me that's bumping up against their stuff, right? So before, I could not be wrong. I could not be corrected because that was an offense. Like that was, oh my gosh, you hate me. I'm not good enough. I knew it. I knew I wasn't good enough. I knew I was wrong. And so my reaction was either to shrink or bite back. And so now I can look at that and say, that person doesn't like me. I can feel it. You know, she doesn't want to interact with me. And I can say, okay, what are my intentions? This is a huge part of what I do. What are my intentions? Am I trying to force my own will? Am I trying to get her to do something I want? Am I making her feel uncomfortable? You know, am I trying to run the show here? If it's yes, then there's something that I need to do to get my intentions correct before I even try to interact with her. If it's no, if my intentions are good, then I just let it go. Because whatever's going on with her, she's not ready. I'm too much for a lot of people. And I'm a woman. I get that. It's a lot. Like this is, if somebody like me would have come at me 6 years ago, I would have been like, whoa, I am not ready for that level of honesty, because I wasn't. And so other people won't be either. There's grace for that. But, understanding that today I can take correction and I can say, you know what? I was out of line there. And I can go back to that person and say, I've been a jerk. You know, I was forcing my own will. I was trying to control you. I was trying to control this or that. And I just need to acknowledge that I was wrong. And I ask your forgiveness. It was wrong for me to do this. And I hope that I can earn your trust in the future. I apologize and move on with my life.
Yeah. And always be the bigger person. Always try to step up. And that's, again, easier said than done, but I so appreciate that. And that's just such a, doing that, like self-reflection, looking in the mirror and saying, what's going on inside here before you instantly want to become the lion against that person. And like I said, easier said than done. So you have come so far. Like, I want to end this on a super high note, because what you're doing now and what you're accomplishing and what you do for other women, talk to us a little bit more. Like, where did that passion come from? Like, was it because of the place you were in? Did you always have that passion for serving women? How did you get into modeling? Like, how did that all come full circle? Because there's such a light at the end of this tunnel, and we'd be crazy not to showcase that and say, listen, how did you find out what that purpose was, right? Like, because after you come crawling out, you're finally quote unquote recovered, but you're probably always, you know, consciously like, or subconsciously going through, you know, that recovery and making sure you're staying, you know, on track. And yet at the same time, you found something that fulfilled you so much. And that's, so some people maybe haven't even gone through what you've gone through, like as far as an addiction or this and the other. And yeah, but they're in the state of life right now. There's probably a lot of people listening to this saying, I'm just going through the motions and I'm not finding my passion or my zest for life. And, you know, maybe explain a little bit how you found that, and then kind of about how that, maybe some other people listening to this, maybe a piece of advice.
I've been there. I have been there. Oh my gosh, where I just felt stifled and useless and worthless. And that's what caused me to compare myself to everybody. You know, I'm like, where do I fit in here? Why am I here? What is my role? Is this as good as it gets? You know, obviously I'm grateful for my children, but I'm here raising them and I just feel like there's more. And I felt totally stifled, like I wasn't living my purpose, and it was maddening. And that's a process. So it looks like this. It looks like identify my gifts. Every one of us has a unique set of gifts that we're born with. And for me, it's speaking. I didn't see it for a long time. My dad was a writer. My mom was a waitress. And they were divorced. And so I was back and forth a lot. My dad had this beautiful gift of stringing words together and connecting with people and looking people in the eye. And it's something that he's remembered for to this day, like across the country. And my mom was totally different than that, but I didn't have that. My dad saw something in me when I was about 12 years old, but I was still very boy-like. I was very straight. I was working on cars. I was riding dirt bikes. I was, you know, doing all the guy stuff. I was very, very much a tomboy. And he put me in modeling classes when I was 12. So that's an investment. You know, you go every week and you learn all these things. And I thought it was so ridiculous. I learned how to put on makeup and walk into a room and do all these things. And I didn't touch that until I was about 21. So I'm 21 years old and I'm on my own living in Savannah, Georgia. And I start looking for a third job because I'm living on my own and trying to pay my way. So I start working for one of these modeling schools and I'm teaching these things. And as I'm teaching them, the stuff I learned when I was 12 resurfaced and I really started to learn. So that's when I lost the perm and the bangs and, you know, I started to really try, I guess. And so that's when the modeling stuff kind of came out, but not really. I didn't do a whole lot with it. All right. So that's the basis. Then we fast forward. I get married. I have two kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm like declining quickly. I'm not doing well. And I come out of that on the other side of recovery. And I start to identify my character defects, we call them. So approval seeking, people pleasing, low self-esteem, like all these things. And then my sponsor points out to me how those things are actually my gifts that I've perverted, right? So I start to realize that I do have a gift for speaking and I do have a gift for connecting and looking people in the eye and being present. And bit by bit, I just start to nurture those. And let me tell you, it's taken every bit of this 6 years. So I hit 6 years of recovery in June. And for the first 4 years, it was really, really slow. It was just steady development. I was waitressing. I was working with other women and sponsoring them through the program. And it really took off when I hit my 5 years. I thought, I have something to say. And no one is really talking about the truth of addiction. People are talking about, oh, opioid awareness and overdose and things like that. But no one's saying, hey, I'm an addict, you know, and I thought this would be a really cool opportunity for me to jump into pageantry if I could win the state pageant and go to nationals and grab the microphone and say, hey, we're here. You know, addicts aren't just the people pushing shopping carts underneath the overpass. Like it's your doctor, it's your attorney, it's your pharmacist. It's all kinds of people. And that doesn't make it okay, but it affects everyone. It's non-discriminating. And if you're facing that, just know this isn't always what I was. I started at the very bottom and you can build up out of that. So I recognized what my gifts were. I took a leap of courage and I said, if they stone me, they stone me, right? If people throw terrible things my way and they hate me, then they hate me, but I have to try. And the exact opposite happened. People are catching on and they're like, we want to hear more about this. So if you are living that life where you're just going through the motions, I would really encourage you to just say, what's my passion? And then mess around with it. If it's writing, write something. If it's painting, paint something. If it's working with another woman, do that. And I really believe this. Each of us is equipped to mentor another woman in some capacity. If I have 3 minutes more experience then the next person behind me and she reaches out for help or guidance, I can mentor her and tell her how I got here. And I never do that in the form of you should, you need to achieve, achieve, achieve. It's always suggestions based on the stories of my life. Hey, I relate to that. Here's how I got through this situation.
And it's so true. And I truly believe that. And I believe that some people that ask me to mentor them or ask me for that sort of advice. And I feel like that's just part of my duty. And like as being a woman, like I just feel that, you know, I've climbed the corporate ladder in a very male dominated field, especially. And I feel even more empowered to do that, especially for women who, you know, are a minority in a certain sector. I just have a passion for that. I have 2 women empowerment groups I'm just really passionate about. And I do, I feel I not only can share with them, but what I get back in return and what I learn from them is like eons. Like they don't realize they're thanking me and like sending me notes and this, that, and the other. I'm like, No. I should be doing that to you. I should be sending you like a bouquet of flowers because you actually taught me more than I think I've offered you. And, you know, and it's always kind of that back and forth. So, you know, if you're, I don't care if you're a male listening to this, or if you're a female listening to this, if you're old, if you're young, if you're, you know, whoever you are, go out there and be that person for someone else. Go be that mentor, go be that mentee, go be that sponsor for someone. Be the person that when you walk in a room, you're talking about another woman who needs to be lifted up, even though she's not in the room. You know, and I always say that I'm like, those are like the true people. And I even see that in corporate America. You know, I have some males who are just absolutely have been mentors to me, absolutely, but they're sponsors to me. I know when the door is shut, it's they're supporting me, and vice versa. You know what I mean? And it's just when you can be that type of person and rise above and lift other women up, especially as you're rising, you know, to me, that's really when not only are you spreading that love and that joy, but you're uplifting yourself. You're ready to next level. And, you know, again, the philosophy is like the people that you surround yourself with, be really careful who you surround yourself with, because you're either going to come down a level or you're going to go up 3. And I'm a firm believer of that. And those people that are in your stratosphere and in your circle, and that may change and that's okay. You know, those relationships change. So with that being said, I literally could have this podcast be probably a 24-hour podcast because I love speaking with you. You're so eloquent. You're so real. You're so authentic. You're so just so serving to so many people. If you want to leave the audience with anything, like there's just something that you're like, hey, listen, if there's one thing you want to know from me at the end of it, say you didn't listen to 3 of the 5 questions we went through today, or, you know, what's something that you just would want to leave people with today who are listening to Grit, Grace, and Glitz?
I think you just summed it all up. So in our adolescence, I think we're all looking for the meaning of life. What are we all doing here? What does it all mean? And for me, and the people that I've seen who've just achieved tremendous success. And I'll say this too, understand what your definition of success is before you try to achieve it. So you have to really define that for yourself, because success means something different for me than it does to you. And my goals are different. But If you're looking for the meaning of life, it always, always comes down to service. Find a way you can serve. Find a way you can serve someone else, because all the years I spent trying to achieve and acquire for myself were the worst years of my life. I got those things. I masked them. And I hated myself. And I was not fulfilled. So if you're looking for a meaningful, fulfilling life, the best suggestion I can give you is find some group where you can serve. If it's a soup kitchen, if it's, you know, picking up trash, if it's mentoring someone, if it's in your church, if it's in your work environment, if there's some group of young professionals, somewhere that you can plug in on the city level, it doesn't have to be spiritual, but if there's some place for you to grow by serving, the best way to get out of our own crap is to pray, talk. So I pray about it, I talk about it, and I turn. Pray, talk, turn. Pray, talk, turn my attention to someone else that I can help, that I can be of service to. Nothing lifts me out of my own garbage faster than serving someone else. And it always shifts my perspective. One more nugget, and I bring this up on a lot of places I get to contribute. Life is about perspective. So if I wake up with that scarcity mindset that I didn't get enough sleep, I didn't, you know, I don't have enough money, my clothes aren't good enough, my kids are annoying, all these things, I'm already starting the day off on a bad foot. But if I wake up and I think I got the amount of sleep that I was supposed to get, I'm blessed to have the kids that I have while I have them here, my clothes are going to work and I can throw my hair up in a bun and still make it work and rock this day. It's about perspective. So there's a Native American parable and it says that there are two wolves. One represents good and one represents evil. Which one grows? The answer is the one you feed.
Love it. It's so true, right? And I think we all wanted to guess which wolf it was, but it's so true. Whatever you want to feed that good energy or that bad energy today, right? And I've fed that bad energy. And it's okay. But the next day and the next day and the next day after that, I better catch myself and grab that good energy. And I do. And I know you do morning practices and things like that and abundant statements and whatever brings you that and can put you in that mindset. Come up with something that works for you, because it's really it's easy to wake up and say, well, I don't, I can't, I want, I need, this isn't, like you said, isn't working. Instead of said, hey, listen, I'm so glad I got at least 6 hours of sleep, right? I'm so glad that I have two beautiful children sleeping in the bedroom, you know, next to me. Like, you know, it just be so grateful for all of those things. But Robin, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you most importantly for just being you and for reminding everyone today that success is not the glamorous mom that might live next to you in your neighborhood. It's not, you know, the woman that you see picking up her kids in the Mercedes. It's not, you know, the guy that just got the corner office, you know, and got that promotion when you didn't get it. It's you. It's your definition. You decide your success. You decide your passion. You decide if you're going to be the evil wolf or you're going to be the happy wolf. You know, you decide who you're going to feed today. At the end of the day, what I hear you say through every answer, you have a choice.
Always.
You always have a choice. And with that being said, guys, go out, make that choice today. Make that choice to be the best version of you, to serve, to lift, and to give the world your grit, to make sure you honor your grace, and to make sure you celebrate all the glitz and good things that happen in your life on a daily basis. With that being said, we're going to sign off from Grit, Grace, and Glitz. So lucky to have Robin with us today. Make sure you check her out on Instagram, Facebook. She is such a woman to follow. I'm inspired by her. Remember, Robin Brock, B-R-O-C-K, will be in the show notes. And I know that she would love to serve you just through her content. Introduce yourself, let her know you listened today, and let's go make the world a better place.
Thank you all so much for joining us today on Grit, Grace, and Glitz. If you enjoyed today's show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, please leave us a review to show us your support. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all-new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.